reminded of Jesus Christ as he spoke about his enemies and how he will build his church, the city of God, that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Even as we sang that psalm, we spoke of the enemies who passed by the city of God, the temple, the holy Jerusalem, and they went on their way for fear. That the city of God is established firm, that his enemies will not destroy this city. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, where we will read verses 18 to 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 24. This too is God's holy and inspired word. Please give it your careful and special attention. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to black, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it should be stoned or shot, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. That's the mountain you have not come to. But you have Zion, and to the city of the living God, the to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are to God, spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you again for your word. And we thank you for the preaching of it. We do, Lord, pray again that you would help us to hear, that you would write these words upon our hearts, write application upon our hearts. Assure us, Lord, of their truth as they come from you, and you are God who cannot lie. Lord, help us to hear, help us to obey, and help us to rejoice that we have been brought to the city of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit of God in the book of Hebrews has constantly, over and over again, been using contrast and comparisons throughout the book to make a very significant point. And the point is this: what he was writing to those Hebrew Christians, to those Jewish Christians, and applies to us as well, do not turn back to the law or your own works to save you. Keep your eyes of faith on Jesus Christ. That's the message of the book of Hebrews. Along the journey through this book, we have seen several comparisons made of Christ and Old Testament ceremonies and how God spoke in the past through them. Let me remind you of just a few of them. In chapter 1, to the prophets. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, God spoke through the prophets, but now Christ. In chapter 1, angels were not to be worshipped, but they were to be worshipers of Jesus. In chapter 1, called God's servant a great and high honor. But by comparison, Jesus was a son in his house, not a servant. He was a son over his house, whereas Moses was a servant in God's house. And then in chapters 4 and 5, we see where the high priest and their sin was compared to Jesus, who had no sin. In chapter 1, priest King Melchizedek, who was a great priest. Christ's priesthood was like Melchizedek's, who had no earthly beginning or end. And so Jesus is a greater priest, we are told, who has the power of an endless life. In chapter 8, he is spoken of as the mediator of a better covenant with a better ministry and better promises. And then in chapter 9, he is compared to the Old Testament high priest who came with offerings for sin, for the sin of others and for their own sin, with the blood of bulls and goats. But Christ came offering himself. And in all these comparisons throughout the book of Hebrews, Jesus is presented as a superior person, a superior priest, with a superior ministry, a superior covenant. All these things carrying with them superior promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is in our passage today that there is another comparison being made, and it is the comparison of two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. As we read in Exodus chapter 19, Mount Sinai represented the giving of the law and that dreadful day when God put fear into the heart of Israel as he gave them his law. And that command not to touch the mountain, beast or animal, was not just for that particular moment. And the darkness and the dread and the fire and the smoke was not just so that they would say, oh, God is upon the mountain. It was so they would wake up and take notice that God was about to give them his law. And that if they did not keep his law, what would happen to the person who touched that mountain would also happen to them. They would die. Because that's the curse of sin, and that's the penalty for sin. Make no mistake about it. Death is the curse and penalty of sin. In Hebrews chapter 12 here, in verses 18 to 21, they are rehearsing of that day. We read Exodus 19, and now we read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. And the Spirit of God did not cover everything, but he got the gist of what was going on there and summarized what was happening in Exodus chapter 19. They could not come to that mountain. They could come near, but they had to stop. That's the mountain that could be touched. They weren't to touch it, but they could have. It was a physical mountain. They could have touched it with physical hands. They could have walked upon it. But now, there is a different mountain. And the Spirit of God is saying to these Hebrew Christians and to us today, you have come to a different mountain. You have arrived. And those are key words in this passage today. You have come, which we will get to. This mountain that you have come to is not a physical mountain. It's not a place. But it is a city still yet. It is the city of God. It is not a mountain that you are prohibited from approaching or touching. It is not a mountain. It is not a city that you are told to just come near and stop. It is a mountain that you are told to come all the way in. Come all the way in and be in the presence of God and receive the blessings that he has for you who are in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at verses 22 to 24 this morning and see all these blessings that the Spirit of God lays out here for these Hebrew Christians who are under pressure, under persecution, to possibly turn back and go back to Judaism, go back to the law, go back to... And by comparison, we would probably think, well, how does that apply to us? What applies to us is that they were going back to trust in something that could not save them. And we can be tempted to do the same thing. To turn back, to trust in things that we do, rather than things that God has done. And so these blessings that the Spirit of God is describing to these Hebrew Christians are wrapped up in here. There are several, but you will see, I hope you will see, as I see, that there are several blessings here in verses 22 to 24, but they find themselves categorized or grouped into three categories. And the first one is in verse 22, that you have come to a permanent city. You have come to a permanent city. Then secondly, in verse 23, you have come to a permanent residency. You as a resident are permanent there. In verse 24, you have come to a permanent peace. A permanent peace. All those in this city have permanent peace with God. And so let's first then look at verse 22. You have come to a permanent city. And notice the timing of your arrival. In verse 22, the first four words tell us, but not like only come near to, but you have come. In other words, what God is talking about here is something that has already taken place. Though heavenly words are used here, heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, words like angels. They may speak to us in our first thought about things future. That's not what the Spirit of God is talking about here. He's talking about right now, you have come. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's speaking of the status of your arrival to this city. You have come. You have come to a permanent city. It's speaking of an act that has taken place in the past, already been completed, and will not change. It is like when you put in to your Google Maps or whatever system you might use for directions, and it's telling you how to get there. And when you finally get there, what does it say? You have arrived. You have arrived. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have arrived into this spiritual city. It is not with all its limitations. This is the city of the living God that you have arrived in, which also speaks to its permanency. I hope you notice in the Psalms that we have been singing how it talked about this city stands firm. Though the mountains quake and though the seas roar and everything else is happening, the city of God is firmly established. Because God is there. Because it's His city. It's where He is living. It is His abode. Now in the Old Testament, there was this city of Jerusalem. There was this Mount Sion. And it is where the temple was. And that is where the presence of God was. But it was always pointing to a much greater city. The city of God, where God dwells in His people. The church. This is a city that is made by God, which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were waiting for. As Hebrews 11 verse 10 tells us, speaking of them, for He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's a permanent city because the one who is making it is God. You and I could make all kinds of things. And we call them permanent. We call buildings temporary or permanent buildings. You have to get permits for certain kinds of buildings that you make. And they are only as permanent as far as we in the human condition can say, this is as permanent as I can make it. But then when a storm comes, what happens? We recognize that building was not so permanent, was it? We've already seen that this year through the tornadoes and hurricanes and things that happen all around us. That our permanent buildings are not permanent, though they're built on the best foundations that we as human beings can possibly make. But the city which God is building has a foundation that cannot be moved. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church, the cornerstone. It is God who is making this city. And not only is God the maker of this city, He is the high resident, the main resident of the city. And so the city is not going to go away over time. It is a spiritual and real city. It is His city. And it is a city that people who are trusting in Jesus Christ have already come to. Do not look at this passage and think, I cannot wait to get to that city. It's one of the things that bothers me about, I don't know what you call this kind of music, maybe Southern gospel quartet music. And one of the things that they sing about the most, and they're beautiful singers and beautiful songs, many of them, but one of the things they sing about the most is looking forward to one day. And I'm telling you that here today, the Word of God tells us you have come to such a city. You have come to the city of God. Maybe they should change their songs to praising God that we have come to such a city. I get it. I understand what they're singing about. They're looking forward to heaven. But you know what? We can do that kind of thing. We can jump past truth for now and say, well, I just can't wait to get to that city. And you know, that city is going to be better than what we are experiencing yet. But do not make the mistake of thinking you have not come to the city of God already. For if you are in Christ Jesus, you have come to this city. And I cannot emphasize this enough, that this is what the Spirit of God is telling those people. You have come to this city. What you are looking forward to is here right now, in the city of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. So we must ask then, if this is a city, and I said it's not a place, but it's a spiritual city whose builder and maker is God, where then does God reside? Well, the Scripture tells us He resides just like He did in Jerusalem in the Old Testament, pointing to this truth in His holy temple. Ephesians 2:19 speaks of the residing place of God, saying, "Now strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." That's happening right now as Christ builds His church. As Christ is the foundation, and the apostles and prophets referencing the Word, they are the, as Christ is the cornerstone, and the prophets and apostles are the foundation, the Word of God, Christ is building this city, and it is where God dwells. The residing place of God is Mount Zion, and it is a permanent place. But it is not a place in the sense of physical. It is a group of people whom God is making into His dwelling place. It's not just you as an individual. It's the church that God is calling together. It is Jew. It is Gentile. That's what God is doing in this city. And so the Spirit of God is telling these Hebrew Christians and us, for those who are in Christ Jesus, you have arrived. You have arrived. And we are being built into that city, and we are being indwelt by the presence of our God. The church of Jesus Christ is the dwelling place of God. She is Mount Zion. And when you come to Christ by faith in His death and resurrection, you have come to that heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to a mountain that cannot be touched. You've come to a spiritual city and a real city where God dwells permanently. But you have not come alone. So much of the church is so individual today. Yes, God does save you individually. But He adds you to a group, to a body, to an organism. He adds you to this number of citizens who have come to this city of God. And so when it speaks here in verse 22, "But you have come." You can guess what tense this word "you" is in. It is in the plural sense. You have come. Yes, you individually have come. But here the Spirit of God is telling us that God has called out not just individuals out of the world, but His body, the whole people of God. Those are the ones who are being talked about here in verse 22. You, plural, have come. So it is the body of Christ, the church, the city of God. And this is exactly what we see in verse 23, talking about who the residents are. You who come to Christ are coming to a city with other residents in it, who are also permanent residents. And that's what we see in verse 22 and 23. You have come to a permanent city, and you are a permanent resident. I think in my life, how many cities I have lived in. And I think about each time that I've gone there, not so much lately now, but I began to think, well, this is where I'm going to live. And I've even said the words, I can't see myself living anywhere else. And yet I've counted up at least 12 places where I've lived. That may seem small to some of you. May seem a lot to some of you. But none of them were permanent. I never had a permanent residency no matter where I went. And yet, this is how we are, how we talk about each other in our physical life here on this earth. But you may think, well, I'm living here the rest of my life. But that is only partially true, only physically true, because all of us are going to move on from this place. No matter where you are, in Christ or outside of Christ, this is not your permanent home. Your permanent home is one of eternal time, without time, rather. It will either be eternally in heaven or eternally in hell. This is not your permanent residence. This is not the end. But for those of you who are in Christ Jesus, you've come to a new residency. And you've been made a new creature by Christ Jesus so that you can live in a new place now. Your newness in Christ is not for heaven, but it is for right now that you may live in the city of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This new place is the heavenly Jerusalem. And this heavenly Jerusalem is not future. You have already come to it. It's right now. It's a right now city. So look at verse 22 and 23, and we ask the question, what is permanent residency for us, and why does that matter? And we can look at some of the things that the Spirit of God says here. The last part of verse 22. And notice that the words in verse 22, but you have come, they are attached to every phrase in this passage of Scripture. And every phrase starts with the word to. You have come to. You have come to this. You have come to that. You have come to this. And so first we see here, in talking about the people who are there, or the beings that are there besides God, tells us in verse 22, you have come to an innumerable company of angels. Now that too might cause our minds to think, oh, that's talking about heaven. Because when I get to heaven, I'll see the angels and I'll be with them. Some people even mistakenly think that we will be angels. But what is the truth being taught here? These angels that we have come to right now, these angels that we have come to right now, Hebrews 1:14 speaks of them as being compared and lower than Christ as His servants, but it says about them, are they not all, present tense, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? We have come to the angels now. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have come to an innumerable company of angels whom God uses to minister to you. For those who will the final and complete salvation. God puts you in this city where He is already has angels who are sent to minister to us. It's not a future thing, it's a now thing. Because you have already come to this. And so that also speaks of permanent residence, right? There were some angels who fell, along with Satan, who fell out of heaven, out of that place where they were with God. But the angels that remain, they are there permanently, and God is using them to minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's us. So we have come to this, these residents of this city. They are residents of this city, and they are used to minister to God's people. Secondly, we see the residents of this city are those who are registered in heaven. Last part of verse 22, to an innumerable company of angels to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven. Who are these registered residents? The members of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. The members of the Church of the Firstborn are permanent residents of the city of God. The residents in this city of God, their names are written down. God has registered their names. Jesus told the 70 preachers that he sent out when they came back and were rejoicing that they had power over demons and spirits. He said, don't rejoice that you have power. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. It is not like a name being written on the tax records here in Columbia, Missouri. That can change. But a name that's written in heaven, a name that is written there because God has chosen and elected before the foundations of the world whom He would save and writes down their name. That is a permanent registry for those whom God writes down. Not everybody who says their name is in heaven. Not everybody who sings about their name being in heaven is registered in that book. But every name that God writes down, as those whom He has elected and chosen and applied the blood of Christ to, their name is in heaven, written down in a register, and that is a permanent residence. Compared to what it's like here on earth. Just as many times as you have moved in one way or another, your name gets written down somewhere in that location as a property owner or whatever it might be as a taxpayer. But that would change. As often as you move, it will change. But with the members of this community, the General Assembly of the Firstborn, their names are written in heaven in a permanent register. And the reference to firstborn here is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn of God. God makes many references to Christ throughout Scripture as His firstborn. Psalm 89, verse 27. Speaking of Jesus, God says, also, I will make Him my firstborn. He is the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth, Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, when we think of firstborn, we think the one that was born to us first. But there are lots of people on this earth who were born before Jesus, even though He preexisted as the Son of God. But this is not even what God is talking about. He's not talking about a Jesus existing prior to any other human being. He's talking about rank. He's talking about regarding God identifying Him and tagging Him as His firstborn. It speaks to His rank being above all others. So Colossians 1:15 tells us, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. This is His position. He is above all creation. For what? He is the Creator. Then verse 16 tells us all things were created through Him and for Him. He is the firstborn, the highest rank. And Colossians 1:18 tells us about this rank. It tells us He is the firstborn from the dead. Now, was Jesus the first man to ever be raised from the dead? No, He wasn't. Elijah raised a woman's son from the dead. Jesus Himself raised Lazarus, first to be raised from the dead. That He is in rank the preeminent one. His resurrection was the most important one, the one that affected the whole world, that in all things He might have the preeminence and be above all others. That is His rank. He has first place. He is above all things, for He is the head of the body and the church, who is the firstborn, the beginning. And so those who are in Christ are permanent residents of the Church of the Firstborn. He who is highest in rank in creation and the resurrection. The Church of Jesus Christ is a permanent church. I was listening to a debate between an atheist and a Christian this week, in which the atheist said, I can see in a couple hundred years that the name of Christ and the church not only will not be relevant, it won't even be around. What a fool. He does not know about the permanency of the city of God. The church will be here if it is not in heaven by that time. But it will be here. It will exist and it will keep going. And you who are members of this church of Jesus Christ, whose names are written in the register, you have a permanent registry there, a permanent citizenship, because this church is permanent. His body is a permanent body. And the city of God, Mount Zion, is a permanent city because God dwells there and dwells in His residents who are also there. Another clue to the permanency of the residence of this city is given to us in the words in verse 23. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. These just men that God has made perfect are other people in this city. Now we know as we look around today and we see the body of Christ all over the world, but that's not the extent of the residents of this city. There are still residents to come yet. And there are residents who have come who are in this city. And everyone who is in this city, they are those whom God, who is the judge of all, has made perfect. He has made them perfect. He has completed them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have forefathers. We have people who have gone before us to be with the Lord, who in the Lord are in this city right now. You know, that was a big issue with people in the day of this writing of the book of Hebrews, in the day of the early church. Oh, I had a relative who died, but they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens to them? They are still residents in this city of God. Those who have passed on thousands of years ago are fellow members in the city of God. Their names are registered in heaven. Their spirits are with the Lord. And so the Spirit mentions it here so that we will see that even though people we love have passed on, and even though we will face death, it doesn't mean we'll be out of the city. We're still in the city. Because that's the kind of city we have come to. Where angels are, where people who are now in the body of Christ living on this earth are, and where people who have gone on ahead of us are. Still in the city of God. Our confession of faith teaches us this truth. In chapter 25, paragraph 1, saying these words, "The Catholic or universal church, which is invisible, consists of the whole number of the elect that have been, are, or shall be gathered into one under Christ, the head thereof, and is the spouse, the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." This city is made up of angels, and the number of the elect that have been, are, or shall be gathered into one under Christ. Not a future city, though there is a future to this city. This is a city that we have come to right now. It's where we are now. And there's something else here in this passage that is uniquely different about this city and its permanency. That you who are in Christ are now a permanent resident. And only this city can lay claim to. And that's what we see in verse 24. That you, who the residents of this city are, have a permanent peace. You have a permanent peace with the King of this city. Look at verse 24. And look at verse 22 for the first part of the phrase. "But you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, that speaks better things than that of Abel." You have come to a permanent peace. Verse 24 says, "You have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant." Now, who or what is a mediator? A mediator is one who stands between two warring parties. And it is Christ and God and brought us to God with His peace offering of His life and His death, His shed blood. It is Christ who is our mediator, whom God has used to reconcile us to Himself. And we know the words of Romans 5, verses 9 to 11. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You have peace with God now. You have to. In order to be in this city, this city's residents are only those who have peace with God through Jesus Christ and through the blood of His covenant. You recall, and we just read this a couple weeks ago in coming to the Lord's table. In Luke chapter 22, verse 20, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." This new covenant in this city was being contrasted with the blood of the old covenant here in the book of Hebrews. The blood of bulls and goats, which could not take away sin, but only pointed to Christ's sacrifice in His shed blood. The residents in this city are all residents who have been reconciled to God. They have peace with God. This is what the Spirit of God is telling these Hebrew Christians. All that you need to be a member of this city is Jesus Christ and His shed blood. That was the blood of the covenant that was required and accomplished the task of making peace with God between sinners and God. And so you who have come to Christ trusting in His shed blood to wash away your sins, you have permanent peace. When you read this passage, I hope you find great assurance, because that's what the Spirit of God is saying. You have come. To this city, the city of the living God. Who abides there? Who dwells there? You have come to an innumerable company of angels and others. This is what you have come to. And you have come to this city through Jesus Christ, and you have come to peace with God. Grab onto that. For in the days when you think you have sinned beyond what a Christian could sin, in those days when you are going through a trial that you can barely bear and hold up under, remember where you have come to. You have come to the city of God, and you have peace with the God who is there. Romans 5:1 tells us, "Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." See that word there again? We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have come to a permanent city. We have come to be permanent residents. And we have permanent peace with God through Jesus Christ. When Cain killed his brother Abel, and the Lord came to Cain and said, "Where is your brother?" Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." That's what's being referenced here. The blood of Christ speaks better than Abel's blood that cried up to God from the ground. And so what was that blood crying for? For justice. For vengeance. And God gave it to him. God laid on Cain a curse. That was the justice and vengeance for Abel. But the blood of Christ speaks better than that. The blood of Christ speaks better things. We deserve that judgment and curse, just like Cain did. But the blood of Christ, by comparison, again, another comparison being made here, God poured out His justice on Christ, that He might justify us. Christ's blood speaks of a message of peace between God and man for all those who have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, the new covenant. And so the question is, are you in this city today? Children, are you in this city today? Are you placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Young people, young adults, and old adults, are you in this city today? Because this is the today passage. We have come. Who's the we? Those who have come to Jesus. And so those who have come to Jesus are in this city. Permanent, a permanent residence, and peace with God. This is the city that you come to when you come to Jesus Christ. This is a city that the Spirit of God is telling us, rest assured, if you have come through the blood of the new covenant, through Jesus Christ, this is your city, the church of the living God, the general assembly of the firstborn. This is your city. And it's a now city. Yes, there are better things to come in this city. But you are in this city of God right now. You have arrived at Mount Zion, a city that will never go away because God is there. A city that you will be accompanied with other residents permanently, and a city in which you are at peace with the King. This is your assurance. This is your comfort. If you are in Christ Jesus. But imagine if you are not in Christ Jesus. Not imagine. If you are not in Christ Jesus and you remain that way throughout your days here on earth, you will only be able to come up to the gates of that city and look. Because you'll be locked out. You'll not be invited in because you have not come through the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. But you can come. You can come today by faith in Jesus Christ. And then it can be said of you, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Come to Jesus and come to this wonderful city of the King today. If you have already come to Jesus, rejoice. Go back to those psalms that we sang and look at how God speaks of this city. Firm, strong, a refuge, redemption, safety. This is the city of God, a city that, on a mountain that you cannot touch, a spiritual city, and all the more real because it is. You have come, you have arrived at the city of God. Praise the Lord and use that for your blessed assurance. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do ask, Lord, that you would write your word upon our hearts. Use it, Lord, to strengthen us in our faith. Lord, all around us are those who are mocking the faith, mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, mocking heaven, and mocking the church. But Lord, you delight in the church. The church is beautiful to you because it is your city, the place where you dwell. You have brought people from all over the world into your city throughout the years in the past, and you will continue to do this in the future as long as we remain here on earth. Lord, help us to rejoice. Help us to gain a greater degree of assurance if in fact we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, how I pray that if there is one here today who does not know you, who has not come to Jesus, that he may come to this great city and be with you forever. We pray, Lord, that they would look at Jesus and see their need for this permanent